You are listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James. I'm Dane Sanders.
This episode is sponsored by our friends at FreshBooks. Springtime means tax time, and their cloud-based accounting software helps freelance photographers and small business owners get their lives back and get back to shooting by making paperwork a breeze. To sign up for your 30-day free trial, go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you, FreshBooks, for your support. Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 61. When clients attack, or how to lose your job. In this episode, a client becomes a nightmare, threatens to ruin a photographer, and ends up imploding. Photos from the Great Depression have holes in them. Video training to help you enjoy the free Google Nick collection are now free as well. Soccer star Pele sues Samsung, and April 2nd couldn't come fast enough this year. All that and more in episode 61 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Dane, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. Many of you know the name Dane Sanders, of course. In 2010, Photo District News named Dane one of the 30 most influential living photographers of the last decade. He's been featured in magazines like Rangefinder, my personal favorite, Professional Photographer, and many more. He's been invited to speak at WPPI, Imaging USA, and Photo Plus Expo, and he's also a sought-after workshop leader and personal coach. He's the author of The Fast Track Photographer and The Fast Track Photographer Business Plan, founder of Mastermind.co, a really great guy, and if you want to learn more about him, head on over to his website at danesanders.com. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 61 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. Have you ever had a nightmare client? Someone so horrible that you wish they never crossed your path, no matter how much they paid you? Well, what if they threatened to destroy you online and tarnish your reputation if you didn't issue them a refund? Well, this is what happened to San Francisco-based photographer Josh Edelson recently. He says he received a call from a potential client in need of a new headshot, so they agreed to meet on a certain day and time, rain or shine. I know, that rhymed again. I'm sorry. Well, the shoot day rolled around, and it was actually raining out, so Edelson shot the photos in a hotel ballroom instead. No problem, right? I mean, it doesn't matter. He's going to blow out the background. He's going to light it well. What does it matter where you're at? The guy just wanted a headshot. I mean, it's that, or shoot in the rain, or reschedule the shoot. But the client needed his headshot ASAP, so time was of the essence here. Well, he tells the mothership over at Petapixel, quote, "I did the best I could to get decent shots of him while keeping him dry. We worked together to decide which photos were best. He chose his favorite, and I edited it for him. He paid me via Venmo on-site $350 as agreed," end quote. Well, Edelson shared the photo with us at Petapixel so we could see the quality, and you know what? It looks pretty nice. The lighting is great, and it's a headshot that I think most people would be happy with. Well, not this guy. A week after he received the headshot, Edelson's client sent him the following email. He said, quote, "Hi, Josh. After much deliberation, I've decided to go a different route for my professional headshots. I don't feel that you are the right fit for what I'm looking for. Please know that I have not used and will not be using any of the photos that you provided during our session on Sunday, March 6th. I do recognize that you took time out of your schedule to meet with me, along with the efforts in editing one photo. However, I ask that you refund $250. I feel that this is fair considering I will not be using your photos and will be meeting with another photo studio to complete the work. Clearly, you already have my money and the decision to refund my money is in your hands. I strongly advise you consider what I have outlined above and look forward to hearing from you." End quote. Well, isn't that wonderful? You know, who does this guy think he is, right? Somehow he thinks it's okay to demand all but $100 back from the photographer to compensate him for his time. You know, that's not how it works, bro. It just doesn't. $100 doesn't even come close to getting someone out there to shoot your photo. All the work he had to do in talking to you, getting things set up, editing the photo, etc. $100, not going to cut it. You know, you agreed to meet, do a shoot, and you received your headshot photo. All of that happened as both parties agreed. You know, I love how people think that after the fact, they can decide to flip the script on you like that. That is so uncool. You know, it's akin to going to a restaurant, being waited on, not eating the food, and deciding that you'd like to pay just 28.6% of the bill. And that's exactly what $100 of $350 is. That's just ridiculous. You know, they still made the food, they spent their time, they served it to you, it cost resources, and you know what? That has a dollar value associated with it. But this guy thinks that somehow things like that are okay. And the photographer agrees, of course. He emailed his difficult client back saying, quote, "I understand your frustration, especially in light of my busy schedule as far as trying to set up a reshoot. My policy is that if a client is unhappy with their photos, I'll do a reshoot at no additional cost, especially if the circumstances were my fault. Since it was raining, there wasn't much else we could do in that location, but I still agree to do a reshoot. I don't offer refunds unless the shoot cannot be redone. I would have suggested we do it at a different time, but given your immediate need for photos, I tried to do my best I could with the circumstances." End quote. Well, his client went from difficult to nightmare in no time flat, responding with an email that, frankly, I mostly can't read here because, that's right, we're trying to maintain our clean rating here on the podcast. He berates the photographer, pumps himself up by talking about how much money he makes, how important he is, etc., etc. And as pathetic as that is, he takes it to a whole new level by telling him all the ways he's going to destroy his business if he doesn't refund all of his money immediately. At the end of this email, the jerk says, quote, "This is about principle. You will Venmo me back the full amount I paid you, $350. If you attempt to respond to my email with anything less than yes, I will be refunding your money, and I apologize. Every day you wake up, you will be wondering which social media platform you should be watching and keep up with to save your reputation as a professional photographer. Sometimes I guarantee you will not find these reviews for months, and the time you will spend trying to figure out how to get them down, and sometimes you won't be able to get them down, will cost you more money and effort than you can begin to fathom. You have until Thursday, March 31st at 11 a.m. to refund me $350. Please believe I have already started crafting reviews." End quote. Yeah, what a jerk. This guy is such a piece of work. We've all dealt with people like these before, right? They are just impossible. Imagine how they are in their personal lives. I feel badly for their families. They must be a complete nightmare to everyone. A ball of misery walking throughout life, just waiting to explode. You don't need to encounter people like this. And when you do, just run the other way because they are going to bring misery to your life. You know, it's one thing to express your displeasure and even to leave a negative review online. That is perfectly okay and that's legal. But it's quite another to threaten someone with ruination. You just can't do that. I'm pretty darn sure that that's illegal in many places around the world, and especially here in the United States. Edelson tells us at Petapixel, quote, "The email was flat out extortion. I felt backed into a corner and forced to refund his money to protect my business. He also created a fake Facebook business page, sent links to sites that describe how to destroy someone's reputation, requested me on Facebook, LinkedIn, states he saw me at the gym, and countless other freaky stalker things." End quote. Edelson wanted to put an end to this bullying, and that's exactly what it was, of course. So he crafted a nicely worded email, refunded the creep all of his money, apologized, and even offered to take the client out to coffee. Okay, I don't want to criticize him because he did what he thought was best for his business and for his family, but that's not at all how I would have handled it. And I think you guys know that, right? I wouldn't have given the jerk a single penny back. He wouldn't have received anything from me that could even accidentally be mistaken for an apology. And you can bet that I wouldn't be taking him out for coffee as well. Not gonna happen. Heck no. Now, Edelson is saying that he's sharing his story with us because he wants to warn photographers who might encounter clients like this who are creepy and threaten to destroy their livelihood. But you know what? This is where I find myself confused. Edelson sharing his story with Petapixel and its 6 million or so readers doesn't happen in a vacuum. The client who bullied him now knows that this has gone public. What was once a private matter amongst a couple of people is now known by many, many tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people. In fact, people have somehow tracked down this creepy client's name, where he works, etc., and are harassing him. Now, I don't agree with that, of course. Two wrongs don't make a right, as they say, and harassing someone for harassing someone else just isn't productive. You know, it's the trolls, I tell you. They're in mom's basement, and I guess it seemed like a good idea at the time, and it's not. There are proper ways to handle this, and that's not one of them. As of this recording, over 300 people have commented on this story over at the Petapixel Mothership, including Josh Edelson himself. As I said, people have figured out who his client worked for and have made them aware of the situation now, and he believes that's now going to cost him his job. Well, in the afternoon hours of Friday, April 1st, 2016, the creepy client called Josh Edelson to let him know that the internets, that's right, the internets, somehow tracked him down, contacted his boss, and now he's afraid that he's going to be losing his job over this. Edelson asked him, quote, "Now you can relate to what it feels like to have your career threatened." And he said, "Absolutely, brother," end quote. He goes on to say, quote, "With a somber tone, he offered to pay me the $350 back if I'll try and get that post removed," end quote. Well, an hour later, the photographer posted that the creep went ahead anyhow and paid him back the $350 via Venmo, which is an online payment service, by the way, presumably in an attempt to undo what he's already done. Listen, I believe that people make mistakes, and I believe in forgiveness and redemption, as I've said before, but this guy went way overboard and into some really creepy and illegal territory, in my opinion. You know, you reap what you sow, as they say, and he's reaping it now. I went ahead and reached out to our friend Mickey Ostreicher, General Counsel for the National Press Photographers Association, also known as NPPA. While this isn't a press-related matter, Mickey is an attorney, of course, and this is what he had to say about it. Quote, "Thanks for asking me to comment on this story. There will always be clients from hell in every profession. Quite frankly, I'm surprised that even with a nicely worded email and full refund by the photographer, this disgruntled customer still didn't find reason to complain. It actually reminded me of the excellent story posted on Petapixel 2 years ago by attorney Robert Schenck about the wedding photographer and his wife who were threatened with a $300,000 lawsuit by an ex-client who also threatened to ruin their reputation and livelihood because he was dissatisfied with the photos from his wedding. Some states have a common law cause of action known as tortious interference, which in this case would allow Mr. Edelson to bring a claim for damages against his client for wrongfully interfering with his other photography contracts or business relationships. The problem with lawsuits is that they take both an emotional and financial toll on everyone involved, and despite the likelihood of success on the merits of the claims, are usually settled out of court. As compared to that unattainable pound of flesh, most good settlements result in the parties being equally satisfied or dissatisfied, depending on your point of view. I believe that Mr. Edelson handled the matter very professionally as opposed to his client, who I would wager loves to get into disagreements with everyone and thrives on drama, most often taking the high road by keeping your integrity and furthering goodwill is far more rewarding than being victorious on the battlefield. The only thing I would also suggest for photographers, make sure that you have a signed, written agreement spelling out the terms and conditions of your work prior to taking the assignment. End quote. All right, what Mickey said at the end there is key. You've got to have a signed contract. Without one, nonsense like this is going to happen, and it can devolve into quite a mess. Next. As we always say here on the podcast, thanks to the amazing technology available to us, sharing our photos is so easy. And so is running your business if you use FreshBooks. Whether you make your money with your photography or you have another small business, you'd rather be out shooting and editing your photos than dealing with paperwork, right? I know I would. Well, FreshBooks solves this problem, making it incredibly fast and easy. Their amazingly simple cloud-based invoicing solution keeps your cash flow details all in one place so you know who you've invoiced, who's paid, who hasn't, and what your income is. And the FreshBooks mobile app is awesome. It lets you take pictures of your receipts and organize them later so you have them ready to go come tax time. Do yourself a favor and check out FreshBooks. You know, they believe in this podcast and we want to support them, right? You'll be more prepared, less stressed, and you can get back to doing what we all love to do, taking photos and editing them. On average, FreshBooks users get paid nearly a week faster when accepting online payments through their system, cut 2 days a month out of administrative tasks, and double their revenue in the first 24 months. That is amazing. More time shooting means more time to make money rather than shuffling papers, and that's huge. Right now, FreshBooks is offering our listeners a free 30-day trial, so make sure you take advantage of that. Go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the how did you hear about us section. That's PETAPIXEL, of course. Thank you so much, FreshBooks, for your support. In episode 59, we told you about how Google surprised everyone by making the Nik collection of desktop photo editing plugins free. Something that not too long ago cost $500 US, was dropped to $150 after Google bought it, is now free. And it's pretty much universally loved because it is an amazing collection of software. Well, now there are video courses available that are 100% free as well that teach you how to use the Nik collection. If you've downloaded them, but you need a little help on how to use them, you're going to be happy to hear that Tim Gray, author of over a dozen books and dozens of video courses, has announced that he's given away all of his courses on the Nik collection for free. The course bundle he's given away includes 4 courses: Basics of Using the Nik Collection, Learning Viveza 2, Learning Analog Effects Pro, and Learning Silver Effects Pro. You can download the course bundle right now. All you have to do is enter your email address, but there's no confirmation required, and you can always unsubscribe from future emails if you don't want to be on the Gray Learning mailing list, of course. For the link on where to download this, hit the show notes for episode 61 at petapixel.com/podcast. Next. All right. Personally, I find April Fool's Day to be annoying. And I know a lot of you are with me on this. Each year, I can't wait for April 2nd so we can dispense with all the shenanigans and just get on with it already. I know, I'm no fun. But you know what? It'd be one thing if one or two people posted about being pregnant or something crazy impossible happening to them, but when dozens upon dozens of people do it all on the same day, well, you'd have to be pretty dense to fall for any or all of them, right? Perhaps each thinking that they too were the only ones who were aware it was April Fool's Day, several companies in the photography world got in on the shenanigans. Adobe's latest Lightroom tutorial featured a horrible shot of someone's dinner, but by heading up to the develop menu and selecting Ansel-O-Matic, bam, you can make any photo look like an Ansel Adams masterpiece. Now, this wasn't funny, not even a little bit, and it didn't fool anyone either. You know, I wish Adobe would work on making Lightroom faster than doing goofy stuff like this. I know this didn't take a whole lot of time, but still, come on, Adobe. Now, photographer Jeffrey Lunn, however, nailed it with a really clever video showing off a lens filter which he said magically removes unwanted facial hair in photos. In this case, a full beard and mustache. It was so well done. He put so much thought into this. You definitely need to hit the show notes and to see this one. It was just amazing. But sadly, I bet somebody out there, and a lot of somebodies actually, think that you can screw on a lens filter to the front of your lens and that it'll actually do that. Digital Rev's Bokeh blog announced that Instagram launched a line of 56mm lenses, each allowing you to only shoot with a particularly horrible color cast to them. Those lenses were purported to be available in toaster, midnight, and seafoam varieties. What's funny, though, is I bet if those actually existed, people would buy them. I mean, I think you could find enough people these days who've never heard of screw-on filters that can do the same. I mean, there's a lot of weird people out there. There's an audience for everyone, and there's also a product for everyone, I believe. Except for that weird Kodak 8mm thing that they're trying to make happen again, which isn't going to happen, in my opinion. Now, Sony went all out with a produced video that was just way over the top, had animation and everything, announcing their new Proton Pack, which can capture content from an alternate dimension. They must have spent a whole lot of money producing this, but I guess they felt like it would get him enough attention to make it worth it. I don't know. They definitely put some dollars into that thing. Now, lighting accessory and flash maker LumoPro announced its light stand leg warmers in bright orange so that people would be less likely to trip over your light stand. And while this was a joke, of course, it actually is a pretty decent idea. I mean, anything you can do to make your gear more visible so people aren't tripping over it is a good idea, I think. So hey, maybe they've stumbled onto something here. Pun intended. Now the website Fuji Addict reported that Fujifilm was taking a page from Leica's book and offering a new limited edition X-Pro2, which was distressed to make it appear as if it was decades old and well used. It was even said to be available with handwritten documentation of the abuse that each camera went through to get that look. And what's funny is, I think a lot of people fell for that one as well. But my favorite, National Geographic announcing that it will, quote, no longer degrade animals by showing photos of them without clothes, end quote. That one was so ridiculous that I'm sure no one believed it. It pokes fun at April Fool's Day and all this nonsense, and it actually made me laugh out loud. So it made suffering through all the rest of them totally worth it in the end. Next. During the Great Depression in the United States, the government had a huge part in creating what's been called the, quote, golden age of American photography, end quote, by hiring some of the best photographers of the day to document what America was like during this hard time in the country's history. We've all seen these iconic photos from the greats like Dorothea Lange, Walker Evans, and Arthur Rothstein, and that's because the negatives for photos and the resulting prints were meticulously archived. But for many photos, they were damaged forever by Roy Stryker, the director of the Farm Security Administration's documentary photography program. Stryker was a ruthless editor who clearly had no regard for the value of the work and its place in preserving history, because he had no problem with irreparably defacing or destroying photos that he didn't deem acceptable by using a hole punch on them of all things. Not only did he put a hole through the negatives, he ensured that they would never be printed by placing the hole through someone's face rather than a wall or another area that could have been retouched on the negative. Remember, this was many, many decades before Photoshop, and even if that existed then, reproducing someone's face when you don't know what it looked like in the first place, of course, is impossible. Yeah, this guy, clearly not a fan of photography. If he was, he wouldn't have done this. Nevertheless, in the Library of Congress, these negatives lived on among the 164,000 developed, along with 77,000 different prints made for the press. In addition to that, just 644 color images were made. Remember, this was in the 1920s, 1930s, a long, long time ago. These negatives that Stryker punched holes through have been printed since, but they have black holes, of course, thanks to the hole punch, through what's arguably the most important part of the photo, the subject's face. Photographer Edwin Roscomb was one of the photographers whose work was on the receiving end of Stryker's heavy-handed editing, and of this he said, quote, the punching of holes through negatives was barbaric to me. I'm sure that some very significant pictures have in that way been killed off, because there is no way of telling, no way, what photograph would come alive when, end quote. In 1939, Stryker apparently had a change of heart, or someone knocked some sense into him, because he retired his hole punch, and shots that he deemed unworthy from then on went unscathed. Roy Stryker, not a friend of photography, not even close. Thanks a lot, bro. Next. If you're a soccer fan, or what's called football in many parts of the world, you may know the name Pele. If you're not familiar with that name, I'm sure you're familiar with Samsung, though. Well, the former is suing the latter. The 75-year-old Brazilian soccer legend is suing the Korean electronics giant for $30 million, claiming that they purposefully used a photo of a man which he says looks a whole lot like him. Now, personally, I don't see it, but maybe it's just me. In the ad, which ran in the New York Times, is a photo of a man with half of his face showing, and to the right of that is one of their SUHD TVs. On the TV is a soccer match, and the main player in the shot is doing Pele's signature move, what's called a modified bicycle or scissors kick. So, I guess if you put two and two together, one might assume that a photo of a soccer match, plus a photo of a guy who kinda sorta maybe but really doesn't look like Pele, equals allegedly confusing people on purpose. And that's what the soccer star is thinking behind his lawsuit. His suit alleges that they're banking on his likeness, albeit not an actual image of him, and it's being used to sell TVs. So this might seem like a little bit of a stretch, but when you take in consideration that according to him, back in 2013, Samsung walked away from negotiations which would have used Pele to advertise their electronics, things don't necessarily get completely clear, and it doesn't exactly prove his point, but I think you can see a little bit of a correlation there, and he's hoping that a court will rule in his favor based on that. The lawsuit states that the ad hurt Pele's endorsement value and tricks the public into believing that he actually endorses Samsung products, which he actually does not. For that, he's wanting $30 million. We'll see if he gets it or not. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 61 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, go ahead and email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, and I hope you do, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. And if you'd like to help support this show, head on over to freshbooks.com/petapixel, enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section, and claim your 30-day free trial. Thank you so much, FreshBooks, and thank you for helping support this podcast. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 62. Well, it's f8 2/50 of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.